Hand over now to Nadeem Navid. Thank you very much, brother.
Greetings to everybody again. Have a different race, different colors. But thank God that we have one Savior, one God. Today we will be together learning from Exodus chapter 35 and first three verses. And I would like to express that as English is not my first language, so please bear with me, and I believe God will help me to express his message to myself and to everybody. So as we read the book of Exodus, chapter 35, first three verses, so God is speaking to Moses, and then Moses is further telling to his people, God's people, to Israel, what God is telling to Moses. So it's about the Sabbath. He gathered the congregation, and he's talking with them and saying what the Lord has given the command. So he's, I mean, the God is giving very clear instructions there. And he's telling them that, okay, 6 days you can work, but the seventh day there shall be to you a holy day and rest to the Lord. So 6 days was permitted to be work, whatever work people want to do, but the seventh day was to keep it Sabbath, which means is to the rest to the Lord to have. So the Sabbath is mentioned around 172 times in the Bible, and it shows that it is quite important, very important thing when it is mentioned 170 times in the Bible. But the word Sabbath comes from a Hebrew word meaning rest. So do we need a rest to leave everything and then we only need to sleep? We will see this. But before we go there, we also see the Sabbath is one of the command out of the Ten Commandments, which was given to Moses in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9 to 11. And again, clearly, God told Moses that 6 days, 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But again, we see that in the seventh day, therefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and made it holy. So for God, seventh day is holy and he blessed that day. But before God, as God is giving these commands to his chosen people, Israel, through Moses, because in chapter 35, I mean, in chapter 35, further down, we in next few chapters also, we see that God is giving these commands because God is telling them to build a tabernacle for him There will be further details on this. So God know the nature of his chosen people, that often they, if we see last 34 chapters, so we often see that Israel, his chosen people, were not always there in obedience where God wants them. And there have been different complaints from them towards God. So God look after them, but in response, we see there was not actually equal response from his own chosen people. So because of this, God is clearly telling them that, okay, you need to keep the Sabbath holy, separate from me, to have to acknowledge me and to spend time with the Lord. And Father, we also see, it's very, very strict call to obedience we see in third verse in Exodus chapter 35, where God is he's always serious, but here we see that God is saying, whoever does any work on it, it is to be put to death. So that's not a normal case. That's really that's why when we drive, when I learned driving, so I found, still I am not really very good with the lines. So single yellow line, double yellow line, and then sometimes single red line, and at some point there are double red lines. So God is really bringing this thing before his people very clearly, that's really serious matter. You have to keep the Sabbath holy. You have to really have time with me, acknowledge me, leaving everything on aside, and acknowledge that I am your God and spend time with me, actually. So the main reason was clearly warning again that they are chosen, God's chosen people and his nation. But due to their previous disobedience in many ways, so God is bringing here this strict obedience law to them, which are with the consequences. And when we read, so it seems very, not it seems, these are very extreme, serious consequences we see. So the question is also that why God is so hard here. Again, I want to bring this before you, that God wants to dwell with his people. And God wants that his people come to him also and acknowledge him as their Lord. So if somebody's sitting here waiting for you and waiting for me and I am not coming, so he's still there. So it's more showing we have to dwell with him. And if we see Isaiah chapter 58, verse 13, there we see that what kind of things may we do on Sabbath? So we find the answer there. The prophet Isaiah suggested that we should turn away from doing our own pleasures and should call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable. So that's in the Old Testament. And if we see the time of Jesus, what Jesus is saying about the Sabbath, If you remember, most of Pharisees and religious leaders, they were always after Jesus to find his to cause problem for him, to really find something he's going to do against, because they have the knowledge of Sharia, the book of Moses, and all the Sharia laws. So in Luke chapter 6, verse 1 till 11, there's a story about Jesus, when Jesus healed a man who has a withered hand. And we see that the Pharisees were there, teachers were there, the teacher of the law were there, and they were looking for the reason to accuse Jesus. But Jesus knew that, and they, because it was the Sabbath day, so Jesus healed him, and Jesus knew that, and Jesus told him that get up and stand in front of everybody. So he did not say, okay, it's Sabbath, okay, you are healed, just go, nobody would know. But he told him to stand. And then Jesus told the Pharisees and teachers of the law that which one is lawful on the Sabbath, to do a good or to do evil, to save or to destroy. And further, we see also in Luke chapter 13, verse 11 to 17, and that she was healed in the synagogue. And the leaders of the synagogues, they accused her, and they were very hard to this crippled woman, and they told her, why did not you come the other, there are other 5 days to come for healing, so why you came on Sabbath? To do this, and pointed them that, I mean, Jesus spoke that you hypocrites, does not each of you have, I mean, Jesus explained that you do your work, and this woman was kept for last 18 years by Satan, and be set free on the Sabbath day from what bound her. So, dear church, I would like to continue with this further more. And at one point when Jesus was, I think this is very important, I should quote this, when Jesus was going along with his disciples going through fields, this is Matthew chapter 2 and verse 23 and 24, I think. So when Jesus, so when Jesus was going through the fields, and there his disciples were picking the something from, and then they were eating. So again, the religious leaders and Pharisees, they accused Jesus, and Jesus answered them, even quoted the Old Testament, where Jesus said that when David was in verse 25, and what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need, in the day of Abithar, the high priest, he entered the house of God and ate the consecrated bread, which is lawful only for priests to eat, and he also gave some to his companion. But the next 27 verse, then he asked to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. So the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath. So my friend, when I read this, I was quite surprised in that way, because I work among Muslims. So if we see in Exodus chapter 35, verse 1 to 3, that how serious God is about Sabbath. And here, Jesus is pointing Sabbath towards to him. So he is a Sabbath. As Pharisees, as law, teacher of the law, they were accusing him. But Jesus said that he is a Lord of Sabbath. So Sabbath actually means rest. So he is a Lord of rest. But what kind of rest actually we are talking about here? So my main theme or I want to express is, because Sabbath is a very big subject, and as I am not really a preacher, but what I feel and I have seen in this, that we have rest. Anybody who is sitting here, we have rest. We have Christ in us. But there are people who do not have rest, and they are still in the Old Testament, living in Old Testament. And there are many people around us. Again, I want to point to the Muslim that I love them and pray for them and try to reach them. So they do the same thing. They get up early in 5 o'clock or maybe before. They do go for 5 times a day for prayer and wash their self, try to be pure. Not unclean, and do all kind of fasting and charity and everything. But they are still away from the rest. So if we see further down, more verses or scriptures, so we find that when Jesus is talking about these things, Jesus is talking also about we read that Jesus said, all who you are burdened, come to me and I will give you the rest. So the rest only can give the person who has a rest. And Jesus is a rest, and he can give rest. So the rest, we are not talking to have really a long sleep. I'm not very good with sleep, especially when I'm at a new place, so I get difficulties. But Jesus is not talking just for the sleep. So he gives us rest from our sin, because our sins make us really, maybe if you visualize, if somebody has a weight on his back, on his self, so every day or every month, every year, as we are growing age, so the burden of sin is continue growing and growing and growing and growing. And then under this sin, people are being crushed. And Jesus is clearly speaking there in this verse that, come, O you all burden to me, and I will give you the rest. So Jesus has the rest in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 and 30. So nobody has this rest. Often when I talk again with Muslims, so I ask them, is there any cure? Is there any medicine that if you take and your sins are forgiven, or And they do not have, it's they always talk it's by the mercy of Allah. But then I tell them that in the Bible, in the gospel, we see that Jesus died for our sins. And this weight is lifted up. So my friend, we have this peace, we have this rest, and we are thankful for this. And this rest was only made through Jesus Christ, who is a Son of God, who is God, who is Lord. Because if he's not Lord, he can't forgive the sins of people. He can't say your sins are forgiven. So he has a life. He had life. He has a life. So he came to give life. There's nobody in the Bible we find who claimed this, that come to me and I will give you the rest. I can't give 1 million pounds to somebody if I don't have. Do you think if I promised with the pastor, okay, I will give you 10,000 pounds. But if I don't have, how I can give him? So Jesus has rest. And we can see at the cross when he said it is finished. If this work was not finished, then there was no rest for us. And there was no hope of rest for other people who are living around us. I'm not only talking about rest on this earth. As we read in Hebrew chapter 4, so we also find rest in heaven. We also find rest in heaven when we read that, therefore, since the promise of entering in his rest still stands, let us be careful that none of you be found to be to have fallen short of it. So my friend, we have a promise of rest in heaven also. And when I again talk with the non-Christians, so they always ask Muslims that we have to earn our way to heaven. But praise God that we do not need to earn our ways to heaven, because we are on the way which is already done. So they are on the way of do, but we follow the way which is already done at the cross. So we don't need to really run for things. We have weak body. We are weak in so many ways, but the rest we promised, we have this in free of cost. But the question is now, okay, we have rest, which is very good. So the question here is, if I have a rest, then what about the people who live around us, especially in the UK now, you see, there are many Muslims around living among us. And I believe that if God has sent them here, so that's the church responsibility. That's the responsibility of disciple. Anybody who follow Jesus, he has a responsibility to reach them. Even if somebody's not Muslim, but he's your friend, he's under the heavy weight, under the heavy weight of his sin and curse. Because there's a power of sin. And that was only broke by Jesus Christ. I have experienced when I talk with Muslims that there was no anybody who could break this power, the power of sin. But Jesus defeated the Satan and every power that because he lives in this world, and he broke every power that could hinder us. But yeah, we have this news, we have this peace, we have this rest, we have this assurance to go have to heaven. But what about others who do not have this? I like Shepherd Pie. And in Birmingham City Mission retreat, often they make this dish. So when we arrive, I think on Friday time we arrive, so we eat Shepherd Pie and we enjoy. So if I eat next day and have all, I mean, nice food, but what about others who do not have this? So anything you really like very much, but if other person do not have this. So I think the precious thing, the most precious thing, if you ask me, I only have Jesus in my life. If he did not save me, honestly, my life would be really, my life would be really, really worse. I came upon a family. I'm the youngest one in the family, and I have four brothers. So two of them were serious drug addict. Every morning when I'm waking up in my childhood, so hearing fight between father and two other brothers because they were asking for money and stealing everything that was available in the house. But within this heavy load, within a bad situation, I mean, this could lead me to the very worst situation. But thank God, I got rest. I got Jesus. So I got this rest. This rest stood, helped me to stand up on my feet. Even on the street, I have so many challenges. This rest helps me to stand on my feet and also tell others about the same rest. If I eat German, shepherd pie, then I also tell other people, oh, shepherd pie is very good. Come and eat with me. So we have Jesus, we have to tell others. I brought this scripture along with him because here you find that Jesus is saying that I am the Lord of Sabbath, and in Old Testament God is telling about the Sabbath. So maybe we can close our eyes and ask God's grace for yourself to take the message of rest, our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for each and every soul that is living in this world. And they would come to know him, to acknowledge him, that he is rest, he is Sabbath. And they would have the same joy, same peace, same assurance going to heaven, same assurance of forgiveness of their sins through Jesus Christ. So let me pray for us. Dear God, we come before you, God, and we are weak in so many ways, and we confess before you, God, that please forgive us, and we are thankful for your Son Jesus Christ, whom you sent for us. Thank you. We are saved through him, we, our salvation is not in doubt. Our price is paid. He's the risen King, and he's coming back to take us. Help us, O Lord, please, to take the good news, the rest, to many, O God, who lives around us. People are dying in drugs, in many, many ways, O God. Many nations, many tribes are living in the United Kingdom, O Lord. We ask you that, please, help us, O Lord. Help us to take you to others. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Thank you.